Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. I was thinking last week we're over, I guess it was last week back in Joshua and I'm on. All right, I'm on now. All right, Joshua, I was back in Joshua, but I want to go to Revelation. You go all the way back here to the last book in the Bible, or if you go back to the maps, turn left, and come back to Revelation chapter 3. Begin in verse 14. If you want to stand as we read the scripture, Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Johnny, would you lead us to the Lord?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings, Lord. We pray that you go with us now into the preaching hour, Lord. You give the pastor, Lord, the message we stand in need of, Lord. Apply it to our heart, Lord. We pray for those that are not here, that are sick, Lord. We pray that you just touch them, bring them off that bed of affliction, Lord. Bring them back quickly, Lord. We know, Lord, there's been many requests made, Lord, for hearts that need to be touched, Lord. Thoughts and minds that need to be healed, Lord. We pray that you just continue to do that, Lord, and your will be done in all things, Lord. We praise you and honor and glorify your name. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, no doubt a familiar passage of Scripture in Revelation and really the last church. And I think definitely that this is a picture of the church age we live in. You know, we go through these different church ages and we see how that things progress and how that, there's different church ages fared better than others as far as the way things are. And you go back to the church age before this, it's the Philadelphian church age. And I believe that covers some of the great revivals that we've seen. In fact, the only great revivals that we've seen, a nationwide stir of God, and those have happened in the past. But we're not seeing that in this time, in this day and age. So we're probably living in this period of time right here. But I want to give you a kind of a different thought about this. And I got to thinking about this a few weeks ago, and I think I'm on the right track here. But there's probably a term, a word that I've used a lot, and other people have used a lot. But really, if you try to line it up with these verses right here, we're way off track with this thing. And in fact, talking about the messages and everything, it was just a short time ago, I was checking, like I said, the downloads and everything. One message that we preached about had a title of Get Over It. You know, simply Get Over It is one that's been listened to a whole lot. And because just that title and that theme, you think about it, it's just a title or something that people says a lot. You know, somebody do something or say something, get over it. You know, get over it, and we don't get over it. But there's a lot of phrases that we use and a lot of things that we use, maybe. It's not in line with the Word of God, and we ought to be careful about that, and we ought to be thankful. I'm not trying to change your whole thought process, and it's been a help to me a little bit, but I want you to see what the Scripture said there, that we ought to be, he said, hot or cold. He said, we ought to be hot or cold. In fact, he said, you're somewhere in between, you're lukewarm, and he'll spew you out of your mouth. I'll never forget, a lot of times, not even really wanting as a kid for the bath to be real hot, you know. Maybe that's a child thing. I think it is. They want it kind of lukewarm, you know. And if you apply that, you think about it, if that's a childish thing then, if you look at it spiritually then, it's us being a babe in Christ and us being carnal, like was preached in the tent meeting on Monday night, I guess it was, not about being babes in Christ, and we become carnal, we become childish, if you will, and maybe we like it just a little bit lukewarm. We don't want to get too hot. You know, we don't want to get wound up. We don't want to get really hot and on fire for God, and we should, though. But we just kind of slide somewhere in there in the middle. You know, here I'm saved, you know. Bless me, Lord, if you can. You know, I'm saved, and I'm putting in my time, or I'm here, or I'm doing that, and whatever. And so many times, God's people end up not completely cold and dead, not completely callous and giving up and not here at all, but then not wide open and on fire for God and hot like the Scripture says. In fact, let me give you my title. You know about where I'm headed with this thing. And I've just got about 3 points, and I'll be just as short as the Lord wants us to be. But my title is, Don't Be Cool. Man, don't be cool. We've used that phrase before, ain't we? We've heard it for many years. It's probably something that came in our vernacular in the 60s in America. Oh, man, oh, he's cool. You know, he's all, yeah, look at him, he's all that. Now, that's newer terminology, I reckon, ain't it? Nowadays, he's all that, you know. He's cool, you know. I mean, he's really something because he's cool. Well, the Bible said you're nothing if you're cool. In fact, God says if you're cool, it makes me sick. That's what lukewarm is, ain't it? It ain't hot. It ain't cold. It's somewhere in between there, you know. You're that little crap, you know, and that's what it is today. People are right there, man. They're saying, you know, there's no black or white. There's no absolutes, if you will. And I'm going to try not to just throw all these points in together. I done touched on a couple of them already. But, I mean, that's the phrase that's used a lot of times now, you know. I mean, and has been for many years. We've held on to that thing. But the problem is it's too much really of a reality than what we want to admit. God's people are cool. Ain't that something? God's people are, I mean, they're right there. They're lukewarm. And God says, I mean, when he says it, spew them out of your mouth. Now, we'll try to be as nice about this as we can be, but, you know, that's regurgitating, okay? He's spitting them up, okay? He's spewing them out of their mouth, right? I mean, simply, he said, it makes me sick that God's people are not on fire for me. He said, I'd rather you be on fire or dead and cold than to be right there in the middle. Don't be cool. People's wanting to be cool, but don't be cool. Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, we don't like it hot, preacher. We don't like it straight. We don't like that. Ease up a little bit. Just give me a cool message. That's what they want now. Hey, get you a little stool. Do away with the pulpit. I mean, that's what they're telling them now. I was listening to a preacher preaching about this, talking about this out in California, and maybe probably a bigger trend of it out there than what there is here. But he said the trend is just to get away with the pulpit. And he preached from Nehemiah chapter 8 about where the Bible says to build a pulpit and put one there. And he said, what they want to do now? They say, number one thing in the church nowadays, don't have a pulpit up there. Get you a stool. Don't wear a tie. Don't have your coat. You know, get you a little stool. What are they saying? Just be cool. Just get up there and be cool. But God says, that makes me sick. God says, I want you to be on fire. God says, I want you to be on fire. I don't want you to be cool. Don't want you to be lukewarm. Think about it. He said, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itch and ears, somebody to just come along and tickle their ears. Tell them something that makes them feel good. Tell them something that just keeps them calm and cool. Don't get them anything that's going to get them on fire and get them headed toward that. No. The Lord said, I'd just rather you be dead and cold or hot. Know which side you're on right then. Instead of that, what is that? Was that being cool? Something like straddling the fence. Straddling the fence. And I heard Brother Ed McAbee say, he said, you can't find no fence in here. Amen. You're either in or out. You're either saved or lost. There's no straddling the fence. That's the reason he said it makes him sick to think about just being straddling the fence, just in and out, just cool, just lukewarm. No, he wants you to be on fire. He wants you to be hot. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Hey, listen, the Bible even says about a prayer life. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a prayer. It's on fire. Effectual, fervent. Fervent means to be on fire. So many times we go through a form and a fashion and you know, we look right and we're okay and we're probably just cool or we're probably just lukewarm when we go through that. I mean, we're not dead, we're not cold, we're not praying. It's not that we're not praying at all. It's not that we're not reading the Bible at all. It's not that we're not going to church at all. We're somewhere in between there. We're somewhere in the middle. We're just trying to be cool. Bible says in the next verse there, I didn't read the next verse, but where it talks about time will come and not during sound. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's either right or wrong, true or false. Yes, you're on your way to heaven or hell, like I said a while ago. But you know what? When you take truth and you add error to it, it's no longer truth. You can't mix error with truth. Amen. Just don't mix. It just don't work. It's like oil and water. It don't mix. When you start trying to mix it, it becomes lukewarm. You might think it's cool. You might think it's okay, but it's not. Because God has an absolute truth. Let me give you a first point. Don't be cool. The thought is maybe somebody will say, well, any message would do. Like I was saying a while ago, just get down and be there to the level that you need to be or whatever. And that sounds good. And there's a lot of things that sounds good. It sounds all right. But the Bible also says there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the ends there are of the ways of death. It might sound all right. Oh, we're just gonna get down to their level. We're just gonna get down there, where they're at, and we're all gonna be cool. We're all gonna be, lukewarm. Amen. We're all gonna make God sick. Amen. That's what's gonna happen. You say, well, are we up above a different level? No. What I'm trying to say is, though, the Holy Spirit's on the inside, and He's working His way on the outside. And there should be a standard. There should be some commitment to the Lord. There should be something that separates us and sets us apart from this world that's on their way to hell. They're cold and dead and lifeless and have no spiritual sense about them. But if you're saved, praise God, there's a difference. Praise God, there's a change. You can feel the touch of God in the songs this morning. You can enjoy the choir music this morning, and it stirred your soul. Why? Because you're saved. There's a difference in your life. You're saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You might be in the valley, but praise God, there's a lily in that valley. The Lord has got something blooming for you. The Lord can help you through it. Ain't that a blessing? Hey, listen. We ought to be on fire for the Lord. Praise God. That's the reason, it excites my heart to see that there's still a fire revival going on. It's a couple weeks later. I pray it goes on a couple months later, a couple years later. One statement Brother O'Malley made, and it might have just went in one ear and out the other, but I stopped that one somewhere along the line, thank God, or God stopped it in my mind. They said there ought to be some results. They could be, if we'd obey God, years later. Amen. That could be some results here. A couple weeks ago I said, if we had a 10% increase over a period of 8 years, oh God, we can't think that far ahead. That's because we're just trying to be cool. Oh, we're all right. We got 50. We didn't have nobody this morning. Anyhow, we got whatever. I thought you had more. No, we just ain't got it up there yet. We're a little over 40 this morning maybe. Is that right? 40. We're at 40 again. Oh, we're just being cool, ain't we? We're just sliding along there. We're just staying there at that easy pace. But if we had a 10% increase every year, an average, okay, an average. We've had more than 50. We've had, more than that, whatever. But, if we had an average over a period of 8 years, we'd run over 100 people in Sunday school. We'd run over 100 people here, maybe in the worship service. You say, oh, man, I don't know about that. Well, if we was on fire, we'd say, praise God. If it's hot, we'd say, praise God. Amen. That'll be good. That'll be great. Hey, so many times we just get in a rut. We just get there. We're lukewarm, Somebody said a rut. You know what the definition of a rut is? It's a grave with both ends knocked out of it. You're just dead. Amen. But somehow, dead or cool or something, Let me give you a couple verses. Any message. But you know what the Bible says? Psalms 12 and verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. The number seven is the number of perfection in the Bible. And it says, the word of the Lord is pure words. I don't add nothing to it. Don't want to take nothing away from it. I want to believe it just like it is. I want to preach it just like it is. And buddy, that's red hot. That's right up with the Word of God. It's like right over the presses, praise God. God's give us something that's precious that we don't need to add nothing to it. We don't need to water it down. We don't need to change it. We need to, praise God, let it change us.
Amen, brother.
So many, hey, they got a lukewarm Bible. They got a, oh, have you seen the latest version? Oh, it's cool. Have you seen the latest one? Man, it's cool. Look at it. Oh, man. Listen, Southern Baptists come out with this one. This one's cool. You're a Baptist, ain't you? Yeah, but our heritage is some Baptists that died to have this one right here.
Amen.
Nobody died to have that other one. Amen?
Amen,
no blood was shed. They might be in trouble later on. Some of them have been in trouble later on. But you know, think about it. This, I mean, I say any message will do, any Bible will do, anything will do, anything goes in this day, and everybody likes it. So, man, and everybody will like you, and you'll be so cool. You'll have such a cool church. We don't need one. We need one that's on fire. We need one that's hot, praise God. We need one that's fervent. We need one that's revived. We need one that's got the touch of God on it, praise the Lord. Any message will do. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. I'm giving it all I got, Brother John. Hallelujah. Hey, Proverbs 30 verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Thank God. Hey, listen. Any message won't do if you want the touch of God. Any message won't do if you want God's approval on what's going on. Hey, there is something that is tried and true and proven that'll stand the test. You got a 1611 King James Bible, you've got it this morning. You've got something that's tried and true and preserved, and it's already been through the test. It's already passed for flying colors, and God's still using it.
Yes, sir. Bro.
Talk about revivals and everything. Talk about that Philadelphian church age. The only preaching that's ever come and brought a nationwide revival to any country is from this book right here. The only time there's ever been a revival in America, it was through Billy Sunday preaching out of this book, D.L. Moody preaching out of this book, Charles Haddon Spurgeon preaching out of this book in England. You go right down the line, Jonathan Edwards preaching out of this book before the American Revolution, George Whitfield preaching out of this book out in the fields, and hundreds of people gathering and getting saved.
Amen.
Go just right on down the line, John Wesley preaching out of this book, praise God. Hey, thank God that there's something that we have that's tried and true and proven. The Bible says in verse 18, I'm getting back to my text, okay? I'm going to cover some verses from 14 to 22, hopefully. But verse 18 says, I caused thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now they said they was rich, but the Lord said, no, you're just being cool. He said, I'm rich, creased with goods. They said, you're naked, you're poor, you don't have nothing. He said, I count you to get gold that's tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Notice there he's telling them, hey, you need something that's tried and proved and true. The scripture says in verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We preached some time ago about that, about that bucket and that thimble and the big wash tub, praise God. And I said, do you want a cup full or a bucket full? And I used that text there in Luke chapter 8 where it talks about the sower that went out to sow the seed. And there was some that had more capacity to listen and to hear and to heed to what God had to say. There was some, praise God, that was on fire. There was some that wasn't just being cool, but they wanted to get something from God. The Bible says in Luke 8:18, take heed therefore how you hear. For whatsoever, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, to him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. I want the true message, don't you? I'm not saying any old message will do. Praise God. I like the old-time preaching. I like the old-time way. I like the old-time singing. I like somebody to get up and preach out of the King James Bible, and they don't have to have the same mannerism as somebody else just as long as they stay in the book, praise God. That'll be the right message for you. It'll be the right message for us. We've had some, amen, you know, they're quiet for a while. Brother Johnny has a fit sometimes with the sound. Have some preachers, they'll be loud for a while, and then they'll be quiet for a while, and I'll be loud and quiet for a while, and then we got some there, you know, they get up. I've always said I'm not a helicopter preacher. I'm more of an airplane preacher. I need a little bit of a runway to get off and get started. But some of them, the helicopter, man, they just gone. I mean, they're up there until they get done, praise God, and then it lands. But I'm more of that airplane preacher, and sometimes I have to put it on autopilot for a little bit, but we try to get to the landing and get where we need to get, amen, with the Word of God. But, you know, what matters is not what is said and what is done, but what is heeded to. Now, we can have some good preaching, we can have some good singing, but the devil won't, he just don't care at all unless we take it on the outside of this building. Unless we take it and we heed to it and we apply it to our lives, and there's some lives, other lives that have changed. There's some other folks that are brought in. There's other people getting saved. Praise God. That's the reason any old message won't do. That's the reason we'll get up behind the pulpit. And I never forget my pastor telling me, he said, and many times he said it, he said, I don't want to just get up and preach a message. I want to preach the message that God wants me to preach for that time. Any old message will do. That's what the cool crowd says. But the Lord says, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God's got a will. God's got a plan for our life. And it takes the message to get what we need. Then second of all, let me say, and I've touched on some of these points already, and maybe we'll get done a little bit sooner, but second of all, let me say, that cool crowd says, absolutes don't matter. Absolutes don't matter. They'll say, now wait a minute, you know, all that hooping and hollering and all that, you're talking about the message in the book and all that, you know, that might have been fine 20 years ago. That might have been fine back in the 50s or something. That might have been fine a long time ago. But, you know, nowadays, there's just a lot of gray areas, preacher. There's a lot of things that, you know, society has evolved. Lord God, I hate what she's evolving to, amen? But society has changed, and we've got to have a new message and everything. No, wait a minute. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said in Malachi, I change not. Praise God, He's staying the same. We ought to stay with the message that's same. We ought to stay with the message that's proven and tried. Hey, I'm backing up on the second point. Maybe I didn't hit it good enough. But I tell you, when we get the message right, we'll understand and we'll realize there are some absolutes. There is a right and a wrong. There is a right direction to follow. Let me give you a couple things about that. Absolutes do matter. Absolutes about God matter. I appreciate Brother Will mentioning in the Bible school class back there in Johnny's class, talking about, you know, hey, we need to look at what God has done, what God has created. God can speak to us in a lot of different ways if we'll realize it and we'll understand it. Man has their thoughts. Man has their opinions. Everybody has their opinions. Somebody say opinions like a nose. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got their opinion. But what does God say about the matter? What does God say? What He says is true. What He says is right. What He says does matter. I believe without a shadow of a doubt. This right here is my final authority. It's not what the church has said. It's not what somebody else has said. This right here is my final authority. This is my rule. This is what I base my rule and practice on. It's what thus saith the Word of God. There's some absolutes that matter about God. The Bible says in verse 14, latter part of the verse, he goes on to say, hey, talking about the Lord, he says He's the Amen, capitalized Amen. Let it be so. The faithful and the true witness. Sometimes the word Amen, or the word for Amen in Hebrew and in the Greek, is sometimes translated faithful. He's faithful. Let Him be so. Let Him be true. The Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Absolutes do matter about God. Second of all, absolutes do matter about ourselves. Absolutes matter about us. Verse 17, the Bible says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I'm just cool, and have need of nothing, knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Yeah, everybody might be looking at you and saying, man, you're cool. You're all right. You got it all together. You got it going on. Whatever you want to say, whatever the vernacular is for today, it'll change tomorrow. But the Lord ain't going to change.
Amen,
brother. Amen. Well, you know what? This scripture, he goes on to tell us there. I mean, he says that no, on the inside it's different. What you say on the outside and what you look like on the outside, and that's a big thing today. It has been. What your peers think about you, what everybody else thinks, how you look, how you dress, how you, oh, I've got to look like everybody, I've got to be cool. No, you don't have to be. What you need to be, according to the Word of God, is on fire for the Lord. Absolutes do matter about God. Absolutes do matter about self. Hey, the Scripture tells us about ourselves. Somebody will say, well, you know what, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I'm doing all right. And you know what? The devil will convince us of that. We'll say, oh, well, you know, that's all right. He preached a hard message, or the revival, there was a couple hard messages there, and God dealt with me about something, but I'm not going to change anything. I'm all right. I'm doing fine just like I am. I'm sure there's not a one of us, from the pastor all the way back, whoever we are, there's not a one of us that couldn't draw a little bit closer to God. There's not a one of us that couldn't step up a little bit and say, Lord, I don't want to be over there in that cool crowd. I don't want to be lukewarm, and I sure don't want to be cold, but I want to be on fire for the Lord. Well, we can look back at a time that we did more for the Lord, and now we're doing less, unless, you know, there's something that has hindered us because of health reasons or whatever it might be. God can still work it out. God knows, and God knew for it would happen in your life. He can put things into place for you. Listen, somebody's absolutely about us, judgment. Down in verse 19, the Scripture says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repentance, you know, I tell you what's going to prove that we've had revival is going to be, is there any repentance? Has there been any change? To repent is to make an about face, is to make a change. It's for there to be a difference in our life. Somebody said repent means about face. We completely turn from our sins. We don't go back and pick it up. So many times we lay something on the altar and then we go back and pick it up before or the next time or whatever. But we need to lay it there. Just leave it with the Lord and turn away from it. The Bible says in one place there in Proverbs said, you know, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Walk away. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left. We got to go forward for the cause of Christ. Thank you, Brother Johnny. I had some up here, but I guess that was used or old or something. That's good and cold. Amen. Absolutes do matter about the judgment of God. Let me give you this passage. Now, I've quoted part of this recently. But Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The Lord, there's some judgment that's there. There's the judgment hand of God, and we mentioned this several times recently in some different messages, but you know what? There's an absolute about that matter. There's an absolute about that thing. For sure, I guarantee you, it's going to come back. We need to just keep on trusting Him and realize, hey, when we just say, oh, I'm all right, I'm fine, I'm cool, that's not necessarily what we need to be doing, is it? Last of all, let me give you another thought about this absolutes. Absolutes about victory matter. Verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and am set down with my Father in His throne. Absolutes about the victory that we got in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, and nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I can't get over that thought, more than conquerors. Amen. I've read that many times, and I guess that means more than what we can think about it. I mean, if you're a conqueror, praise God, that's good. And how can you get any better? But he said, you're more than a conqueror. I guess because sometimes, like the children of Israel, we do like they did. We stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We just stand there and we don't understand it, how God brings victory. We don't understand it, how God takes care of situations. But you know what? We can be on fire for God, and we can say, praise God, I'm glad you've given me the victory through Christ the Lord. Not only that, but last of all, let me give you this. And like I say, I've touched on a couple of these points a little bit already through the message. I think I mentioned this at the beginning of the message. But first of all, we see the cool crowd says, any message will do. The cool crowd says absolutes don't matter. But not only that, the cool crowd, they don't want to be a worker. They don't want to get involved and be a worker. But they don't want to do nothing either. Amen? I mean, we don't want to make no commitments. We don't want to go forward and do more than what we're already doing, but we don't want to do nothing either. Problem is, that attitude puts us in the cool crowd. Problem is, that attitude puts us in the lukewarm crowd. And God says, that's making me sick. We ought to be, there ought to be a fire of God about us. There ought to be a touch of God about us. I like what Brother O'Malley said one night. He was talking about the just coming in here. He said, we ought to come in here. And he said, come in the house of God. And of course, it was under the tent there. But we ought to just come in there and just holler out a praise to God. Well, what he said was, woo! I mean, that's what he said. That's what he said there. He just said, woo! You know, a little bit louder. Okay, didn't he? He peaked it, didn't he, when he did it? But you say, oh man, he must be happy. Man, it must be something really good happened to him. No, there's a lot of things I'm going through. You don't know what all I'm going through. But you know what? I want to be on fire for God. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be dead, you know? Amen. So many times, well, hey, babe, praise God. God give us something to do. God just set us and has just saved us and let us sit there. Like what Brother Todd said many times, we ought to get off of our seat and get on our feet. God wants us to be a worker. He doesn't want us to just sit idly by. I know we'll immediately say, but preacher, you know, we're not dead. We're not cold. Well, the Lord said, I'd rather you do that. That's a hard statement there, ain't it? He said, I'd rather you do that than to be lukewarm, than to just be that cool crowd. Let me give you a couple of verses on that, and I'm done. But in Luke chapter 19, let me share just a little bit in this story. In fact, it goes along real good with the last days, the days we're living in. Brother Gerald opened up with that in the Bible school time about the last days and time we're living in. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, it tells us a story here, a parable here, if you will, in Luke 19 about the 10 pounds, and it talks about a kingdom and a certain nobleman. The scripture says, let me breeze through it a little bit, peruse it a little bit, and give you a few verses. Verse 13 says, in Luke 19, he called 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's what I say. It's a beautiful picture of the church age. The Lord's left us here, but he hadn't left us here without anything to do. He says, occupy till I come. He said, occupy, stay busy, be on fire, be a worker. You may not be able to do everything you used to do, but do something, praise God. Don't be cool. Don't be lukewarm. Well, what happens later on in the story, in verse 16, it says, after the Lord came back, they came to the first and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said to him, likewise, be over five cities. And then verse 20 says, another came and said, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, shrewd, if you will. And he says, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou shouldest not have given my money into the bank at my coming. I might have required mine own with usury. In other words, you put it in a bank, at least I'd have got some interest off of it. And he said unto them that stood by, take up from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now we'd say, man, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. But you know what was going on with that feller? He made the Lord here sick. He was just, you say he didn't lose none, no. Wait a minute, preacher. He didn't lose, but he didn't gain a bit neither. He wasn't dead. He wasn't completely dead. He didn't lose it. He wasn't dead, but he was just being cool. I know what I'll do. Man, I'll take care of this. I'll just bury it. I'll just hide it. I'll just hold on to it. The Lord comes back and he'll be glad I didn't lose it anyhow. But he didn't do nothing with it. And the Lord said, the first thing he said in verse 13, occupy, occupy till I come. He wasn't doing that, was he? Bible goes on to say that he said, for I say thou that every one of you which hath shall be given, and to him that hath not, even that he shall be taken away from him. You know why sometimes somebody on fire and already doing a whole bunch can take on more and still do it and it be effective and to have the touch of God on it? Because they're on fire. They're not just trying to be cool. They're not just trying to be there and just fit in. They're trying to go forward for the cause of Christ. Let me give you another verse in our text. He said here, verse 20, and this is something here. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up, hear my voice and open up the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. What a picture the Lord draws here. Now, I know we apply this verse a lot of times to salvation, and it can be applied in that application, but the literal application of it is to the church. He said for the church. Some of you, in fact, he doesn't have anything good to commend this crowd at all. He doesn't. He said to everybody in one place, he said, anoint thy eyes with eye salve. They said there was two rivers that went down into Laodicea in that day. One of them was from a hot springs. And then one of them was from the mountains, and it was cool. And cold, really. Cold water. Cold water from the mountains. Hot water from hot springs. And guess where that branch landed? Right there in Laodicea. And then it became lukewarm water. And not only that, but they said that was a place that they made eye salve. And so everything applies right to the literal application of that city and of that time. So we need to realize, hey, not only that, but it applies to think about it. The church is on the outside. The Lord is on the outside trying to get inside to the church because they've made him sick. But you know what? You know what we ought to do? Now, I know, don't get me wrong how I apply this, but you know, you ever heard somebody say, well, that feller, he lost his cool. You know, he was all right. He was all right, but then he lost his cool. Well, maybe we ought to do that spiritually. Amen. There's a righteous indignation. The Bible says, be angry. Do you know the Bible says, be angry? Be angry and sin not. There's a balance there. So we're to be on fire for God. Listen, spiritually speaking, folks, hey, lose your cool. Spiritually speaking, lose your cool. Quit being lukewarm. Let's get on fire for God. Amen. The Lord won't be on the outside trying to get in. He'll already be here, praise God. He'll be here amongst us. He'll be here amongst the servants. Like he was in a special way this morning. Let me give you another verse and I'm done. You said that a while ago, didn't you? No, I said I had a couple more. Here's the last one. Over in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah, of course, you know what he said. And we shared that song some time ago about I Can't Quit. And he said, he began to be in derision, he said, and the scripture says, and he goes on to say this, though God began to touch his heart. He said, I will not mention of him, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, he said, nor speak of any more in his name. But then the Bible says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I really couldn't go completely cold. He said, I couldn't even just be cool. Jeremiah, just be cool. No, he said, I'm going to lose my cool. He said, I've got the fire of God in my heart. I've got the touch of God. I've got the stir of God in my life. I want to be more than just cool. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I asked maybe Brother Will to come around with a song, Lord Knows Your Heart, wherever the need might be. I guess the message has been directly toward our church.